Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown, and instead of starting the way I usually start, I want to just chat a bit about what happened last week after the show. Rosemary's birthday was on Thursday, so she wanted to go to Disneyland for her birthday, and we're about 55 miles from there. So we went down there on Wednesday and Thursday, and what I wanted to share was what I call magical moments. It was so cool. Because it's an amazing, amazing place, and there's so much happiness there to watch the little kids or parents or grandparents or whomever and all the things that are going on. And when we think of magical moments, what better way to live our life than look for magical moments, create magical moments, enjoy magical moments. You know, you and I live in a world that's so fast. It's go, 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 go. And there's never time for anything. And yet we all know that life can be erased in a heartbeat. So I just want to encourage you to look for magical moments, create magical moments. Just take time to savor and enjoy your life or your magical moments. You know, if at the end of the day, you say, well, what happened today that was so neat? And it doesn't have to be something big. You know, we get caught up into that world-changing stuff instead of just, wow, why was today special? Because we only get one day at a time. So we need to enjoy what we have. Anyway, I just wanted to start with that. Pardon me. Oops. Been having a little dry cough or tuss. I saw a little cute joke of a little kid. I didn't do the joke thing today. And it was, he says to the teacher, he says, I saw a cat and the cat was dead. And she said, well, how do you know he was dead? And the little boy said, well, I pissed in his ear and he never moved. Pardon me. Oh, and the teacher said, what? She said, yeah. The little boy said, yeah, I leaned over and went psst, and he never moved. Anyway, that's got to serve for your joke today. Opening, usually, you know, the way I do is that to, you know, let you know that you're safe and there's not going to be any harm here. And in the world we live in, that's a big deal sometimes. I want to bring more peace and happiness and joy, compassion, love, and abundance into your life. And again, because I've been a speaker for 25 years and I know when I'll ask people at the end of a talk what was the most important thing they got out of it, many times they got something out of it that I never said. So I want you to listen to the show with that goal. Hey, what's one thing can you get out of this that you're going to implement into your life? And if you did that, I'd be thrilled, absolutely thrilled. Which reminds me, by the way, I'm going through this thing that I'm calling Life Skills 101 today. There's so many things that I want to talk about. Having 25 years in front of a live audience and being in front of my computer in my office and not knowing who's out there, where you are, or being able to get any feedback from you is a challenge that I haven't been able to figure out. What I'm asking is, let me know what you want. Needless to say, it takes a lot of work to put on a one-hour show. And I'd like to be able to do things that you want, assuming that I have the background to be able to do them. I'm not going to do something on, you know, something I know nothing about. As a matter of fact, there was a woman I used to go to the gym with, and she used to get upset with me. She'd listen to the show and say, well, you're always talking about couples. I said, well, I don't know anything else. I got married when I was 22. I've been married for over 48 years. I've never lived alone in my life. How can I speak about living alone? Anyway, so help. Let me know what's going on. And we, you know, you can either call in, and that number's on your screen there. It's 657-383-0055, or email me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. So, again, today's program is on Life Skills 101. You know, as we travel that road of life from birth through life to death, we're going to face a ton of different issues. Call them problems, call them challenges. You know, it doesn't matter what they're called. Some of those things are going to be our ego. Life is constantly going to be changing, so we're going to have to deal with changes. We're going to obviously have to deal with problems. There's stress in our life. We're going to deal with sickness, either of our own or other people. Obviously, we're going to have to deal with death, and again, in our life or other people's lives. When it's ours, well, what the heck, who cares? We're done. Loss of a job. You lose your home. Financial problems. Physical pain. Emotional pain. Expectations. Conflict is a big, quote-unquote, problem issue. Confrontation. Divorce. Then we get into some emotions, things like anger, hate, resentment, hostility, a broken heart, some sort of injury or accident, having a closed mind, negativity, pessimism, lack of self-esteem, or just allowing other people who don't have any self-esteem to intimidate you. So you can see that, and I'm sure that that's not a comprehensive list of the different things that we all have to deal with in our life. And when we look at those and we look at what we call education, we see education doesn't prepare us to lead life. So what I want to try and do is to have shows that are going to deal with these different kinds of issues. And it would be helpful if, you know, if you guys call in, or which ones you consider to be the most important, and we can put those together. So some of the skills that are going to be very useful to navigate through these challenges, problems, whatever we want to call them, obviously, to me, the top one would be being able to listen to our heart and our soul. And I'll, you know, get into that more detail in a bit. Also, knowing that our thoughts create. We're not victims. So we gotta, there's a quote in the Bible, and I'm not a Bible person. You have to be the gatekeeper to your mind. And I like that, if that's close to being the quote. Because, you know, if you don't have control over your thoughts, who does? And it's those thoughts that you have about how good you are, about what you can do, about what you can't do, that are going to create your future. So when you get one that says, I can't do that, I'm no good, I'm this and that, you know, you got to reject that the same way you would be looking for water if your hair was on fire. And so obviously you guys who shaved your head, that doesn't mean a lot to you. But getting back to where I was, your thoughts create. And I think that obviously skills that we need to deal in life, one of the most important, if not the most important, is love. I did a show already on self-love. We'll do one on loving other people. And it sounds simple. Nonsense. Number one, life is messy. Number two, love is messy. Okay? And what we call love, you know, when a couple falls in love and, you know, gets married, really I think that's lust. Love is something that's deeper, that's longer, that's you know, transcends all the problems. I had volunteered at hospice. The only other couple I've ever met in my life whose names were Jim and Rosemarie. And Rosemarie was taking care of her husband, Jim. And they were married 43 years. And at that time, that was a long time to me. So 48 isn't long to me now, so go figure. And he was in, I don't know, stage 4 stomach cancer. And she said sometimes his mouth smells worse than his bottom. And I said, how do you do it? And her answer was just very simply, you do what you have to do. That's love. That's a hard thing to do. How often when we have an expectation of how life is supposed to work, and it doesn't work the way we want it to work, we say, I'm out of here. I saw, I don't know if there was a cartoon of an older couple, and they were asking them what they attribute their successful marriage to. And one of them said, we were taught that when something is broken, you fix it. Bottom line, you know, if you look at the statistics, I think it's about 52% of married couples get divorced and something like 75% of second marriages end in a divorce, which says what? Well, it was his fault. It was her fault. And they end up marrying the same kind of person. And obviously, more than the first marriages, second marriages end in a divorce. Johnny Carson had 3 wives. They were practically the same name, Joan, Joanne, and Joanna or something like that. So love is an extraordinarily, probably the engine of life is love and learning how to love, learning how to love yourself and learning how to love other people. And nobody teaches us how to do that. So we're going to try and get into some of that. And today all I'm going to do is kind of hit highlights of, I got a list of about 20 different things here. Then we're going to get into what you need to do to learn how to deal with life. It's like learning how to drive a car. There's a lot of things you have to learn. Do you remember the first time you drove a car with a stick shift? You look down and you say, wait a minute, there's 3 pedals and I only have 2 feet? And then you're thinking, and then someone says, let out the clutch slowly. And all, what do? We pop the clutch and kill the engine. And after we learn how to drive a stick shift, you know, you can pull your foot off of the clutch and you can't kill the engine because you know how to do it. So it's the same thing with life. The skills we have to have. And don't beat up on yourself because you say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that or I'm too old to learn this or that. All of that is just the ego telling you, you know, you're no good. Moving along, tolerance is huge. Patience is big. We need to learn how to accept ourselves, others, situations. And here, these next couple ones are really mine, and that is being playful. I've learned, went to Disneyland, and Rosemarie goes nuts because I stop and I talk to all the little kids and tell them how beautiful they are and, you know, all of that kind of thing, and talk to the parents, talk to grandparents. I just stop and play with people everywhere I go. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You don't have to have you know, been a speaker to get this. I've done this in over 100 countries in the world, and everybody plays. And I played with people in countries where we couldn't even communicate with each other through words. So be playful. Laugh. Get other people to laugh. A huge issue is your attitude. Don't let anybody else dictate your attitude. It's your attitude. Don't let their behavior dictate how you're going to respond. You're in charge of your thoughts. You're in charge of how you respond to people. Gratitude is enormous, absolutely enormous. We have to be grateful for what we have, because it could be gone in a heartbeat. How about the idea, if here's the one simple action I would take that would change the entire world. Imagine if you got up, let's pick Sunday as a day. You got up Sunday morning and said, I'm going to get one person this week to say to me, you made my day. And I get that all the time, and you'd be stunned at how easy it is to get somebody to say, you made my day. Call somebody with customer service, technical support, or something like that. You know, be kind to them. Be nice to them. Have fun with them. Play with them. They're used to being abused all day. So I believe that would be so simple and would totally change the world, because it would change the way we interact with each other. And we would be patient. We would be accepting. We would be tolerant. We would be understanding. Next one I have is integrity. And to me, that's one of the most important things in my life. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Passion, I think, is huge. You know, everybody wants you to be a robot. Live with passion. Live with purpose. Be open-minded. You know, I've said before that the mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. And another thing we have to be, you know, we've got to forget about being right. Because right means we're rigid. It's got to be my way or the highway. So we got to be flexible. Life isn't fair. Life is messy. Love is messy. We've said these things many times. And you got to be flexible and adjust. Get in your car. Next time you get in your car, see how far you can go in your car without adjusting the steering wheel. Think of life just like that steering wheel. It never even occurs to you that you're almost 100% of the time moving that steering wheel slightly. Think of driving your car as life. It requires constantly to be flexible and to adjust to every situation. So approach every situation by saying, hey, there's another way to see this. So those are some of the skills I think we need to navigate through the challenges of our life. And our challenge then is going to be to learn how to live our life as much as we possibly can from the perspective of our soul. Which means that the goal would be to recognize when we're coming from our ego. Ego, again, is that part that's, I define ego as that part of myself whose job it is to keep myself in a constant state of chaos. And, you know, I graduated cumma sum laude when it comes to that. So once we recognize that, then we got to go, oh, that's my ego. I mean, my ego is that one that stirs that pot up, right? And then we got to say, oh, I don't want to come from here. I want to be aware that this is where I don't want to be. And it's originating from my ego. And I want to shift. I want to know that I can shift. Shift my focus from my ego to my soul. So let's take a brief look at some of the life challenges and skills that you're going to need. And that you're, some of them you have. To learn a lesson that life is trying to teach us. Since we've come here to be students of life, it's going to be much easier to navigate life if we're good students, right? Who wants to be a lousy student? So I mentioned we did a show, and that was on loving ourselves. So I'm not going to touch on that today. If you want to go back to that show in the last month, go right ahead. We're going to do a show on loving others. And what I want to say about loving others is first for you to realize that there's nobody else alive like you. No one. Nobody thinks like you. Nobody has the values you have. Nobody has the beliefs you have. And where we run into trouble is we have an expectation because we've all developed life according to me, how relationship works, how money works, how career works, how, you know, health works, all of those things. And then we think a certain way. We have certain values and certain beliefs, and we expect other people, because those are ours, we expect other people to think and believe and have the values we have. They don't. So once you've learned how to love yourself just the way you are, then you can reach out and accept other people the way they are and stop trying to change them. That's never going to work. You don't want anybody changing you. You don't want anybody telling you how to live your life. So what makes you think anybody else wants you to tell them how to lead their life? They don't. So the challenge in loving others is for me to accept you just the way you are. With all your quirks, with all your whatever, just like I have them, we got to learn to accept that. We've talked about loving yourself and saying you got to accept yourself. And when you work on that, and you can work on the two simultaneously, accepting yourself and accepting other people. Trying to change people isn't going to change anything. We got to learn to deal with what we're dealt. I mean, it's like playing a game of cards. You get dealt that card, those cards, and now you got to play those cards. That's the same thing with life. You dealt a situation. How do you play the situation? So often we're trying to say, well, this is the way you should lead your life. This is the way you should do this. This is the way you should do that. And parents are really good at that. And sometimes not so good at letting go. The whole idea with being a parent is to teach your children and then say, hey, I've taught you. Now you got to go out there and apply those lessons. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to be here when you fall down. And it's the same thing. You're going to make mistakes. Give yourself permission to make mistakes. Because we're all little kids who were never loved enough. Doesn't matter how old the body is we're in. What matters is that nobody has taught us how to nurture ourselves, how to love ourselves, how to love other people, how to enjoy every moment we have, how to embrace the beauty of life, and let go the thorns. What do you do when you pick up a rose? You try not to get pricked by the thorns, and what do you want to do? You want to smell the roses. So lead your life looking to see the roses in everything that goes on. So in terms of loving other people, I just have three things here that I'd suggest that are needed in order for us to be able to love other people. We got to have patience, right? Story of life, patience, patience, patience. I have a PhD in patience and I'm doing postdoctoral work and still, that's a huge thing for me to learn is patience. So they say I teach that which I need most to learn. We need to be able to tolerate other people. They're different than us, period. And we want to be able to accept other people. I love the serenity prayer to apply here when we're talking about loving other people. And that is simply, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The next thing would be that life's always changing. So we can't expect anything to stay the same. Sometimes it'll stay the same for a certain while, and sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. But the bottom line is life is not fair. Every single one of us knows with 100% certainty that life isn't fair. Until it's not being fair to us. I've given this talk on change for the last 25 years, so needless to say, we'll do a whole program on change and dealing with change. But here all I want to say is a few words on the different skills that I think you need to be able to accept change. One is you got to have a good attitude. It's going to happen. You can't have a life saying, well, I'm entitled. Entitlement, you know. We're not entitled to anything. Life will change. Remember, we're here as students of life in order to learn from life. And in in order to do that, life is going to present us with different circumstances so that we can learn. Next thing I have, as far as how do I deal with change, would be confidence. You got to have the confidence that you can do this. Remember when you started a job and the first day they said blah, 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 and you go, what? I'll never learn this. You know, now you look back and say, how could I ever say that I couldn't learn this? I mean, now it's a second nature. It's part of who you are. So have the confidence that no matter what life throws you, remember, you're never alone in life. Whoever you've chosen to walk the path of your life with you is always there. So that's going to be different for each one of you. And again, I would ask you, reach out. Grab hold of his or her hand. And know that no matter what's going on in your life, that person is there to take you through it. You're never, ever alone. I know I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. And I've closed a number of my programs with footprints. And footprints, you can call it a prayer, you can call it a poem, it doesn't matter what you call it. But it's a story, and it's a story about a man who's standing at the seashore, and he's looking at the night sky, and he sees all the scenes of his life. And he sees two sets of footprints in every scene. And then he notices the last scene of his life, there's only one set of footprints. And then he looks back again, and he sees a whole bunch of scenes in his life where there's only one set of footprints. And he turns to God, and he says, hey, God, you promised me if I followed you, you'd take care of me. And yet, every time there was a hard time in my life, there's only one set of footprints. He said, hey, God, what did you do? Did you abandon me? And God says, no, honey. You see, when you only saw one set of footprints, that's when I was carrying you. And now, if you're listening to this in a situation where you can close your eyes, I'm going to invite you to. Obviously, if you can't, then don't. Wait until later, because you'll remember this. So I invite you to close your eyes, climb up on God's back, wrap your arms around his chest, wrap your legs around his waist, and know that no matter what happens, he'll carry you through it. Have that confidence. See this change as a challenge that you are determined to learn how to do, how to do it a new way. And then I used to have this posted on my computer here, but I don't have it anymore. And it is, this too shall pass. No matter what we're talking about, this too shall pass. The next item I want to talk about, pardon me, and this is one of my speaking programs too, is problems. And the bottom line is, we're all problem solvers. The question isn't, are you a problem solver? The question is, how good are you at solving problems? So we'll do a program on that. And some of the things, you know, to think about in terms of problems, Albert Einstein said, we can't solve problems using the same kind of thinking we used, which created them. And how many of you have been on a committee and someone, pardon me, someone in the committee suggests something, and someone else says, well, we tried that already. Halfway through Thomas Edison's attempt to discover the light bulb, one of his staff says, hey, Tom, you're a failure. He says, what do you mean? He says, you failed 5,000 times. He said, no, I haven't. I've discovered 5,000 ways not to invent a light bulb. So you got to bring a new mentality to solving the problems. And very simply, we'll expand on this a lot when I talk about the solving problems. What I suggest to people is you define all the elements of the problem, every single thing. Then you take that, you put it in a box, and you throw it away, you burn it, you know, whatever you do. And never, ever go back to it again. You got to turn away and you got to look to solve the problem. The problem, don't go back to the problem. The problem is now, like driving your car and looking in the rearview mirror and never looking forward. By doing that, you will get in an accident. You'll never solve a problem when you continue to go back looking at the problem. So be open-minded about the solution. No matter what we're dealing with, there's another way to see it. But when we got to be right, well, then there's not another way to see it, is it? Because it's my way or the highway. See it as a challenge that you can solve. See it as a word puzzle. See it as a game. Find a way to see it so that it works with you. Another issue in life is stress. And again, I have a program on that. And stress, I call that program Stress as a Point of View. First thing I'll do is I'll ask the audience who disagrees with me, because I'm looking to get somebody to disagree with me. Because I want them to disagree with me, because then I'm going to say, so you are telling me that the situation causes the stress, which means you are the victim, that you have no power over the situation, you have no choices on how you're going to respond to it or react to it, and you're just a victim of the situation. And that's what you want to look at in terms of stress. You want to look and say, hey, wait a minute. What do I believe about this situation that's causing it to be stressful? How can I choose to believe something else? Because I have an infinite number of choices in life. No matter what we're talking about, you can choose over and over and over and over again. So choose. Choose another way, because all you know about this, the way you view a situation that's causing you stress, is it's not working. So why would you do such an insane thing as continue to look at something the same way if you know it's not working, if it's creating stress for you every single time? That's a definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Now, another thing you can do when you're dealing with stress is to look for somebody who doesn't see this situation as stressful. Someone else doesn't see it as stressful. So, what do they believe? What would you have to believe in order for the situation not to be stressful? So that's one of the skills you need in order to get rid of stress. Over 80% of physician office visits are stress-related. So it's an enormous issue. See it from the point of view of somebody who doesn't see it as stressful. Next thing is judging. We judge all the time. We judge ourselves. We judge each other. It's a totally non-productive exercise. Let me share a Stephen Covey story. And I want you to listen to this story, and then we're going to talk about it afterward. A man gets on the bus, and he has an 8-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. He sits down next to you. They sit down in front of you. He immediately falls asleep. As soon as he falls asleep, the boy pulls the girl's hair. She screams. She pinches him. He hits her. They're fighting back and forth. Then they get up. And they're running up and down the aisle of the bus. They're bouncing into other people's papers. They're just being totally disruptive. Finally, you can't handle it anymore. So you nudge the guy and you say, sir. And he wakes up and he looks at you. He says, could you do something about your children? And he looks at you and he says, yeah, I guess I better. You see, we just came from the hospital 2 hours ago where their mother died. Now, if I had you in front of me now, my question is, how did you shift? How did you shift? Most of the time when I ask that question, it's a matter of shifting from being judgmental, those kids and they don't know how to behave. He doesn't know how to take care of his kids, to be totally sympathetic and accepting. And you just want to hug those poor kids. Oh, my God. You know, they just lost their mom. So when we're talking about judging, some of the skills or ideas would be to stop seeing things as being right or wrong. I mean, you think they're right for you, they work for you, fine. And say, well, this is right. I love the one about killing. You know, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But yet, we've had holy wars. You go into an army and you kill other people and you become a hero. There's all kinds of instances where killing is glorified. What did I say? Oh, I posted something on Facebook about the children in Flint. And they said that some of those children, they're going to have permanent lifelong brain damage. And the question was, well, were these right-to-lifers? Why aren't they screaming about that? But I'm getting into politics. So stop judging. And here is my suggestion. And you can email it to me. And that is to email your resignation as general manager of the earth. I accept resignations at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. The next item is forgiveness. And we're talking about forgiveness, both of yourself first and then of other people. And my definition of forgiveness is releasing the emotional attachment to the event. We'll probably do several shows on forgiveness. Forgiveness is an enormous issue. When we hold on to something, we're holding on to it. Not forgiving is like taking poison. You take poison and you expect me to die. It's never going to work. And many people think forgiveness is about condoning a person's behavior. Forgiveness is only for you, nobody else, you. You can forgive a person and you don't have to see them anymore. What I've done is when there's a problem in my life, I send love from my heart to that person's heart every single day until I can think about him or her without having an emotional reaction. Next item I have here is to stop criticizing. Most of us criticize ourselves more than anybody else. Doesn't matter who we're criticizing, ourselves or somebody else. And some of the skills that we need to stop that, obviously, would be to be able to love ourselves. We need to be able to accept ourselves, and we need to be able to accept other people. Just the way we are. There's no such thing as perfection in this life. It doesn't exist. I was 39, and I was an assistant hospital administrator. And the administrator came to me one day and said, you know, Jim, on your tombstone it's going to be written, he was always right. And I went, whoa, is that hot or what? Having no realization that I was being admonished. Who wants to work with somebody who's always right? And I guess many of us have worked with someone who's always right and lived with someone who's always right. That's no fun at all. So we got to stop the criticism of ourselves and of other people. And there's no need to be right. There's no prize for being right. Would you rather be right or would you rather be kind? You know, which is more important? I know some of you will say being right. Okay. And, pardon me, I'm sorry, I'm just a little tootsie here. I love Dr. Phil's quote, and I have it somewhere else here in my notes, I think. How's that working for you, having to be right all the time? Here's a big one. I can do a drum roll. Compassion. And this is something that I've been working on the last couple of years. And life changes when we become more compassionate. We become more understanding. We become more tolerant. We go, oh, I don't know what's going on here. It's like that story I told you about the man on the bus with his children. We got to have compassion for each other. Every single one of us is dealing with problems. And some of these problems are enormous. And even if they don't appear to be enormous to you, maybe they are to that person. Remember, none of us ever been loved enough. None of us have ever been taught since the time we were little infants how lovable we are, how wonderful we are. Enough. Nobody can get enough of that. Of somebody telling you how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, how lovable you are. Stand in front of the mirror. Tell it to yourself. Tell it to other people. And that goes for you men too. Tell it to other people. It doesn't matter. Remember, I've quoted her 100 times, if not more, Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. Let them think whatever they want to think. Live from your heart. That's why the show is called Heart-Centered Loving. Live from your heart. And I know that all of us have had our heart broken. Every single one of us has had our heart broken. But please, if you've built a moat around your heart, if you've locked the door to your heart, fill that moat in, blow the door off of your heart, and allow love to come back into your heart. That's all life is about. Life is about a bunch of little kids walking around in different size bodies, different age bodies, learning how to love. Learning how to love in messy situations. And every single situation is messy. The other one, part of that, and I'm thinking of Noreen, we had lunch last week and her husband Paul came. And she's worried about him. And Paul's a workaholic. He'll work 80 hours a week and still bring home work. And the challenge is to let go of that. And I remember we said that the reason I restarted the radio show is that Marianne Russell saying, hey, I got to write the book. I believe in God, but I don't trust him. And it's my journey from fear to trust. And we've got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn how to trust God. What's the point? Bernie Siegel is a retired surgeon and out of Yale. And he, in one of his books, he develops a medical model. And his medical model is a bicycle wheel. And he said the hub of the wheel is the individual and their creator. And nothing happens until those two have an agreement. And then the rim of the wheel and the spokes are each one of us whose job it is now to carry out the agreement between that individual and that creator. Understand something. We're not going to understand life. We're not going to get it while we're still in our body. So we have to learn how to trust that what's going on with us has a higher meaning and that we don't get to understand it now. We know this is messy. Then just accept the mess. Let go of the need to try and control, to judge, to criticize, to condemn, to reject, to have anger. Let go of all that. None of it serves you. Remember, in my opinion, you're here to learn. We're all here to learn how to love. And we all know how challenging learning how to love is. Whether we're talking about a family member, whether we're talking about a friend, whether we're talking about people we work with. We've got all these things coming at us all day, every day. So, we have to live from our heart with the eyes of compassion. Because when we're living in our mind, our lives are filled with judgment, criticism, controversy, condemnation, conflict, and on and on and on. So if we're living in our head, what do we end up doing? We're the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Think of this one. seek ye first to understand and then to be understood. So when you are in a situation where there's quote-unquote a difference of opinion, a conflict, whatever you want to call it, why don't you seek to understand what's going on with that person rather than seeking to be understood? So again, all of us have been hurt. We have the need to be understood. We have the need to be loved. We have the need to be accepted. We have the need to be treated with compassion. And at the same time, we have to give that gift to somebody else. How can you receive that gift if you can't give it? Part of being compassionate, in my opinion, is being a good listener. And most of the time when we're talking, and I'm a great talker, so I have a radio show, so I've been a speaker for 25 years. We're talking, and then we're listening to somebody, and something the other person says triggers something in our mind, and we interrupt them. Or sometimes we're just waiting for them to take a breath, right? We do a program on communication. Understand that only 7% of communication is in the words. 38% is in the voice and the tone of the words, and 55%, which is the majority, is the body language. That's why it's so much fun when you go to a foreign country and you don't understand the language. Just try and see what they're communicating, because now you don't understand the words. And you can still understand the intonation of the words, even though you don't know what the words mean. Practice being a good looker. A good listener. Focus on the way the words are said and on the body language. Consider this. Think of yourself as a healer. And you heal by being a good listener and by being compassionate. How many of you have had a situation where you basically sat there and listened to the person, and the person said to you, "Wow, how helpful you've been"? Remember, all of us have some pain that needs to be healed. Needless to say, we're going to do a whole show on communication. Next one I have here is anger. I'm halfway through my list and over three quarters of the way through the show. Ha ha. Guess what? We're going to come finish today. So some of the skills that are needed to overcome anger, obviously, is open-mindedness. You know, we're thinking, hey, I'm angry because you did something that violates the way I think it should be done. In other words, life according to me, which is a chapter in my book with Jack Canfield. Life according to me. Well, this is the way it should be according to me. So we gotta be open-minded. Forgiveness, we've talked about that. You see how many different situations come up in life where forgiveness is a necessary component or skill? We need to be able to be tolerant of people, to be able to accept. They have another point of view. People get angry when it's not going their way. Or we have anger. Well, you know, and we can go into that. We need to be patient. Again, we need flexibility. And again, we need to say, hey, there's another way to see this. How about hate? Hate is something that's really strong. And I mean, hate is a real, real poisonous venom that you take. Hate is, boy, you can't do this to me. Think of it from, I look at divorces. How many divorces where what I'd love to have people do is not get divorces, but go out and have a dinner and say, hey, Sue, hey, Joe, I loved you. We got married. I thought we were going to spend the rest of our life together. It didn't work out. I want to thank you for the love I had with you, the great times we had, and wish you only the best for the rest of your life. But instead, what do people do? Well, you hurt me. So in order to heal my pain, I'm going to inflict 10 times as much pain on you as you inflicted on me. And that doesn't work. It never has, it never will. But what are we dealing here with? We're dealing with emotions, and emotions are irrational. And yet we're trying to create a behavior that'll cause us to heal, and it's only going to cause more pain. What is it doing when you have hatred? You're pushing somebody out. You're saying, hey, my heart is broken. You've done something, said something, whatever it is, that's more than I can handle. So the only way I know how to deal with it is hate. Don't ever, ever, ever let that in your life. You may as well take a gun and, I'm not going to say it. So, how do we overcome hatred? Again, forgiveness. We got to be able to release the past. The past is over. It does you no good to hold on to the past. Focus on your self-love. Look for what you can love about that person. Nobody is all good and nobody is all bad. So look for what you can love about the person. Put the ego aside, which is telling you, hey, this is all about emotion. And then say, hey, wait a second. What can I love about that person? Especially if you used to be in love with that person. Things change. The next one I have here is resentment. You know, in order to overcome resentment, we need to be able to communicate, which we said earlier, we're going to do a program on that. We're going to be able to release our expectations. And I define expectations as that alligator that keeps biting you in the ass. It doesn't work. I mean, we can have all the expectations that we want, and it's not going to work. And you say, oh, yeah, but I got to have expectations of my children to have certain grades or have certain this or have certain that. Okay, you know, I'm not saying that anything is universally true. But when do expectations serve you and when don't they? So release the expectations. When they're not serving you. So when we're dealing with resentment, we have to have a willingness to stop judging that person's words or behavior. I talked briefly about a broken heart. Some of the things that will help you heal that broken heart is the knowledge that this too shall pass. And again, forgiveness. And again, loving yourself. And again, loving the other person. And I'm an absolute believer in life that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And you've got to have an intense desire to have love be an intricate part of your life. And never, ever, ever close your heart to love because it's been broken. Now, there was something I wanted to say about that. Let's go on. What do they call that? A seizure moment. Oh, a brain fart. Well, I call it an intellectual interlude. So anyway, I have like 6 more things to cover. And I don't have enough time to cover it. We have a little over 5 minutes to go. I'm just going to go over these things quickly. An injury or an accident. If you have an accident, you know, I believe that you want to be able to say my favorite quote from A Course in Miracles, what could you not accept if you but knew everything that happens to you, past, present, and to come, is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. And what that means to me is, what couldn't you accept if you knew everything is a gift from God? Which leads you to ask only one question. Hey God, how is this a gift? Any kind of loss. You know, you need to surrender to God and trust that this is for your highest and greatest good. Physical and emotional pain, I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to skip over it. We do a program on that. Expectations, you know, we need to overcome those expectations. We talked about that. We have to release the expectations. We have to let go. Negativity or pessimism, skills we need there are, you only find what you look for. And my favorite quote is from Dr. Phil. How's that working for you? Lack of self-esteem? Well, nobody teaches us self-esteem. Self-esteem is the reputation you have with yourself. You need to be able to overcome a lack of self-esteem. You're beautiful, just the way you are. Commit to teaching yourself your worth. Make a list of things you do well. Accept that God doesn't make any junk. And God loves you just the way you are. And last one I have here is about letting other people's lack of self-esteem intimidate you. When people are insecure, they're going to try and bully you. Don't play that game. So, again, we go back to Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. Live your life for yourself. And the closing quote here is, whatever you hold in your mind will tend to occur in your life. If you continue to believe as you've always believed, you will continue to act as you've always acted. If you continue to act as you've always acted, you will continue to get what you've always gotten. If you want different results in your life or your work, all you have to do is to change your mind. And that's by the prolific author called Anonymous. I'm going to have to shorten the closing story. It's basically, as I've aged, I've become kinder to myself, less critical of myself. I've become my own friend. I have dear friends leave this world too soon before they understood the great freedom that comes with aging. Whose business is it of yours, of mine? Whose business is it if I choose to read or play the computer until 4 o'clock and sleep till noon? I want to dance the tunes of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and want to weep over lost love, I will. I want to walk on the beach in a swimsuit that stretches over my bulging body and dive into the waves with abandon, I'll choose to, despite the pitying glances from the jet set. They're going to get old, too. So it goes on and on about that. But broken hearts are what give. Oh, it said, how can your heart not break when you lose a loved one, or child suffers, or even when somebody beloved or beloved pet is hit by a car? But broken hearts are what give us strength and understanding and compassion. A heart never broken is pristine and sterile and will never know the joy of being imperfect. So I'm blessed to have lived a long life with my hair turning gray and youthful laughs forever etched into my deep grooves of my face. So many have never laughed, and so many have died before their hair could turn silver. As you get older, it's easier to be positive. You care less about what others think and say, hey, I don't question myself anymore. I've earned the right to be right and to be wrong. So to answer your question, I like being old. It has set me free. I like the person I have become, and I'm not going to live forever. But while I'm here, I will not waste time lamenting what could have been or worrying about what will be. And I shall eat dessert every single day if I feel like it. So as we bring this one to a close, I ask you to share this with friends or family or somebody who you think would benefit from this. And I haven't figured out which one of these skills I'm going to start with next week, but we're going to do, Life 101. Life Skills 101. As always, I'll close the show by saying, I send love from my heart to your heart. Please receive this love and share it. There's an infinite supply of love. I love you. Take good care of yourself. Thank you. Bye-bye. See you next week.